Today's shir will be beginning Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis in Bava Basra, the last line. We are going over points that Shmuel made yesterday in the upper part of Mem Beis Amud Beis here in Bava Basra. Shmuel had mentioned three halachas concerning shutfin, concerning partners. The first halacha was dealt with, the idea of machzikin ze al ze. The second and third halachas will be the subject of the next dapim in the Gemara. The second halacha was that shutfin can say testimony one for the other, and there's no problem of negiya be'edus. There's no problem of them, of the one who's testifying, having a vested interest in the testimony. So the Gemara continues, Umi'idin ze lo ze. That's a quote from Shmuel, Shmuel number 2. The Gemara asks, Amai, how is it that they can be made ze lo ze? Nogin be'edusan hein. The Rashbam at the top, Nogin be'edusan hein, the cholzman shelo cholku legamri. As long as these partners have not divided their jointly held property, im yitol shum ma'arer klum min hasodeh, if any protester takes a portion of the field, so then the total amount is lessened. Yafsidu shnehen, finimtza de la'atzmo meid. Since the total amount is decreased, so they're both losing out. Therefore, the partner who would be testifying against that protester is in effect testifying for his own benefit. And we know that edus that's not objective is not acceptable. What testimony that's not objective is not acceptable. So to get out of this quandary, the Gemara has several attempts. And as you notice, the geometric form that appears in the Shas Ozer text that many of you are using either on your screen or you've acquired the separate volumes of the Shas Ozer edition. The geometric forms in this edition serve to denote a series of whatever, something that will be repetitive. And we also feature on the side of the Gemara topic headings and explanations as to what the geometric forms will be doing. In this case, we've combined them on the side of the page under the heading Nosei Mivneh. We'll take a look at the note. The diamond surrounds the expression Hocha b'mayaskina, and you'll notice that as you go down the page. Another aspect of our learning with this edition is the training of one's eye to scan, to see the larger picture, the larger structure. So you've noticed already a few of these diamond shapes. Some of them cover two lines, so you have to bear with it in that sense, in the artistic sense, that is. The note continues on the side. These are ukimtos. They're set-up cases. Lahazbir eich shutfin yecholim lohoyid ze lozeh. How is it that shutfin can testify one for the other, believe yos nogin be'edus, without being partial in their testimony. Hagemora ma'amido halochazu b'shesilek nafshei, where the partner who is about to testify on behalf of the other partner, the aid, the testifier, has removed himself from the partnership. If he's removed himself from the partnership, so he's no longer said to have a vested interest. The note on the side features triangles, but we'll have to take note of that later on when we get to that in the Gemara. So on the top line, the Gemara answers the question, how is it that Shmuel can suggest that the witnesses, that the partners can testify? Are they not nogea b'edus? So the Gemara answers here, Ocha b'mayaskino de kosav le dinu dvorim ein li al sodezu, that the partner that's about to testify wrote a document saying that text, that din udvarim, I have nothing to do with this field, including my own chelik. I've removed myself. I have nothing to do with it. Everything is yours. Gemara asks, v'chi kosav lo my have, and even if he wrote that, so what? Who says that that's an effective removal of oneself? The Tanaic source in the Shas Ozer edition, Tanaic sources are framed to make them stand out in the text as a separate unit, separate from the Gemara. So here we have a Tanaic source where one says to his friend, Din udvorim ein li al sodezu, vi ein li esek bo, vi yodai misulokois heimeno. All of these are expressions indicating one's removal from a particular field. The result of using these expressions is lo omar klum, ineffective. He's not considered to have removed himself. So we're back to square one. How is it that a shutuf can testify? Is he not? Does he not have a vested interest in his partner winning the case against that outside protester? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, kishekonu miyodoi. The shutuf who was removing himself made a kinyan with the other one to that effect. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice there's a long question, as is indicated by the kuf in a circle between the Gemara and the Tosfos. This is a kushia, and it lasts for all of the lines that are opposite the vertical dashed line that you see. So the Gemara asks, v'chikonu miyodo mai have? Even if he removed himself from actual ownership of the property, nevertheless, he still has a vested interest. And how is that? He has a vested interest in winning against an outside protester. Let's just go over one point. If that outside protester were to win, it would indicate that this field never belonged to these guys, to these partners. If the field never belonged to them, so there's another matter that is affected. And that the Gemara explains in the following term. The Gemara says, even if they made a kinyan, the Gemara says, my have, hare ma'amido bifnei ba'al choivoi. Let us imagine that the partner who's about to testify, who's also removing himself from this partnership, had an earlier debt, a debt to pay. Let's say the debt is 2 months old. He owed money 2 months ago. We know that if a person doesn't have cash to pay off his debts, the creditors have a lien on his property, not only on his currently held property, but any property he might have had at the time that the debt was owed and sold or gave it to others. Those creditors can seize upon that property. But that's all fine and good if the property was at some point owned by this individual. So in our case, if the outside protester would win against the shutfin, that would indicate to us that these shutfin, these partners, never owned the property. If that be the case, then the partner would have no means of paying off his debt to his personal creditors. So by testifying on behalf of his partner, that ensures that the property was theirs, even if he removed himself now, that nevertheless would not be a setback to the shutafs, to this partner's creditor. So by testifying, he is ma'amido b'fnei ba'al chovo. He is setting up the property to be collected by his own personal creditor, which is a good thing for an individual to have his debts paid up. As a result, he still has a vested interest in this particular testimony. Namely, seeing to it that his creditors receive their payment. The Omar Rovin Bar Shmuel Mishmei de Shmuel Hamocher Soda Lechavero Shelo Bachrayas. The person sold property to someone else. If he sold it, even if he sold it without a guarantee, and certainly if he sold it with a guarantee, Ein Meid Loi Oleha. The seller is not allowed to testify regarding the property to benefit the purchaser. Why not? Why can't he testify to benefit the purchaser? Bifnei shema'amido bifnei ba'al chovo. Because by seeing to it that his purchaser is able to hold on to the property against outside protesters, that's ensuring the seller of the property to have his debts paid off. In the event that he doesn't have cash to pay them off, his creditors will be able to seize upon the property. However, if he were to lose the case, if the buyer were to lose the case, that would indicate to us that the outside protesters were the owners of it all the time, and it never belonged to the seller and certainly not to the buyer. And hence, the seller would not be able to have this property used to pay off his debts. So the question comes back. What's the question? How is it that this shutaf can testify on behalf of his shutaf friend, his partner friend, when in the final analysis, by the shutaf winning against the outside protesters, the field is available to be collected by the first partner's Baal Chov, creditor? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'may askinan. How is it that the shutaf can testify? The kobil ole achrayas. That the partner accepted upon himself achrayas to make good on the field if it happens to be lost. The Gemara asks, achrayas deman. He accepts responsibility, he offers a guarantee in the case of whom? E nemo achrayas de almo, namely, that if anything happens to the field from an outside protester, namely, if an outside protester would successfully win, so then I will have to make good to you, the shutaf, on the piece that you acquired from me. Kol shekein denichole. All the more so is this shutaf interested in the testimony. He's nogabi edus, so that his partner would win against the outside protester. Because if the outside protester were to win, what's going to happen? The shutaf is going to have to pay out, he's going to have to make good on the guarantee he offered his friend. So he's, as the Gemara says, he's kol shekein, he's certainly interested in the victory of his partner. Elo? So the Gemara says, the idea of the partner who's about to testify offering a guarantee. Ela achrayis de asyo le machmose. He's offering this guarantee to his partner friend for any loss that comes as a result of himself, not as a result of an outside protester winning. If an outside protester wins, so as far as this deal is concerned, the shutaf won't have to make good on that type of loss. However, if the shutaf loses as a result of his the first partner's creditor coming and collecting the field, then the partner will have to make good on the guarantee that he's offering. So, as far as an outside protester is concerned, the shutaf can testify that the field belongs to his friend, the former partner. He has no vested interest in that under those circumstances, because either way, he is going to have to pay out. If the shutaf wins the case against the outside protester, so the people that were trying to collect his debt will be able to collect the property, and he's going to have to pay the shutaf. We'll take a look at the Rashbam for a more elaborate explanation of this point. Elo achrayis de oso le machmose. What does that mean? Im yitrufuhu b'shvil choyvoy shechayav le'achirim. If the field is seized upon because of a debt that he owes, that this partner that wants to testify that he owes to others, yachzir loy hadomim, then he'll refund the shutaf the value of the property that he lost to the creditor that came to collect it. Hilkoch meid oleha gabi aror di almo lamido biyodoi. He is able to testify against an outside protester to ensure that the property remains in the hands of the shutaf. She'enoi mamidoi bifnei baal choivoi. This is not a case where he is making it available to his baal chov. De'mahano yeshlo. What benefit does the shutaf have in this case? Im yitrefeno baal choiv miyad zeh. If the baal chov, if the creditor, collects the property from the shutaf, velo yehe kenegdoi loive rosha, and as far as the relationship between the shutaf that wants to testify and his original creditor, he would not be considered a loive rosha. A loive rosha is one who doesn't pay up his debts. But if the creditor seizes upon the property, so good, the creditor gets paid. However, sof sof, loive roshav lo yishalim hu gabi chavero, regarding the shutaf though, who just lost the property to the creditor, he would be the original, the first shutaf would be a loive rosha to the partner. Shekibul olov achrayis v'chayev l'shalim v'ein lo. Don't forget, we said that the partner accepted upon himself responsibility that if he should lose the field, if the partner should lose the field, he'll owe him. So this partner owes mimonav shach, he owes somebody. Either he owes his original creditor or he's going to owe this partner. V'nichnas bal chov zeh b'mokoyim bal chov rishon. It would appear that Baal Chov Zeh would be the shutaf, now is in the position to collect the guarantee, collect the debt of the guarantee, instead of the Baal Chov Rishon. V'gam im lo yo'id lo, and if the Shutov does not offer any testimony. Ma mafsid. What would he be losing? Hare achrayas v'alma lo kibel. In other words, if that outside protester wins, this Shutov isn't going to lose anything because he didn't accept upon himself responsibility offer a guarantee against outside protesters. Umimonavshach, bein yo'id, bein lo yo'id, whether he testifies or does not testify. Ba'al choiv echod hu deyesh lo, dehave kenegdoi lo yverosha v'lo yishalem. He is confronted with a Baal Chov, someone who, to whom he's going to owe money. So either way, he's going to owe money. Therefore, he's in a position where he can testify. He doesn't have any vested interest in whoever wins. With that, we can go back into the Gemara. We've created a case where the Shutov is able to testify and does not have a vested interest in his testimony, namely a scenario where if he testifies, he won't have to pay, and if he doesn't testify, he will have to pay. Since under all circumstances, he's going to have to pay somebody, so he is able to testify. The Gemara asks, and before we go on in the Gemara itself, we're now going to have to offer a little explanation as far as the new geometric form that we encounter, the triangles. You'll notice that these triangles have colored in tops, and that's in order to distinguish them from the use of the triangles on the previous Amud. For those of us that are holding the, that are using the volume edition, the book form of the Shas Ozer, so you see in front of you two facing pages, Mem Beis Amud Beis and Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, so as to not create a connection between the different series, because in this case there is no connection, we add the colored in tops to these triangles. What are they going to be doing? So we glance at the outside part of our page, and you notice where the triangle appears, it says Toshma. That is because the most of these surround a Toshma. The first one, true, it starts surrounds V'hotanya, but nevertheless, they are Kushiyot. Bahem Sheikh, as the Gemara goes on, HaGemara Makshe Derech Mekoyrois, the Gemara is going to raise questions through presenting sources. Im Siluk Mo'il, does this whole concept of removal help? Does it help to make one non-partial? Mimakuros Elu B'mabat Rishon, from the following sources that the Gemara will bring at first glance, Mashma de Siluk Loi Mehave Pitoron L'baya Shel Negiyah Be'edus. It's going to appear that removal of ownership from ownership won't solve the problem of being Nogea Be'edus. After the sources are presented, as you glance down the page, you'll notice double lines appear. That is also a series marking, because in this case, the double underlines will be bringing out, will be featuring the same expression, Lisliku Beitre Minayu Velidainu. So that expression will be featured each time. And we're also going to notice the house geometric form, and that surrounds the expression Sefer Torah. And what we try to do here in our markings of this sukya is to demonstrate that the same answer the Gemara gives to the first question will appear subsequently in the following attempts at asking a question. And that is what we've indicated on the side, Sefer Torah, that's in the house form. And what the note we've written in, Oisa Tshuva L'chol HaKushios Choseres Al Atzmo, the same answer to all the questions is repeated. The Be'ikaron, that in principle, Siluk Mo'il, Siluk removal does work to free one up to testify, to make him impartial. Avol B'mekoros Eilu Medubar B'Sefer Torah. But the sources that we're going to be showing you are dealing with someone who had been shayach, had been connected to a Sefer Torah, like a community Sefer Torah, the Lashmi'a Koi, it's designed for hearing the Kriya Satara, the Lachain Siluk Eino Moyil, because even if he ostensibly removes himself, nevertheless he's going to hear the Sefer Torah being read and benefit from that. So he's considered connected under all circumstances, even if he attempts to remove himself. But that's only because we're dealing with a Sefer Torah. What we just said is, of course, the answer to the question we haven't even learned yet. So we'll now look in the Gemara. Gemara asks, V'chi mesalek nafshei minei, mi mesalek? We indicated at the beginning of this omid that there is a possibility of a shutof removing himself and thereby making him impartial. But who says that works? V'ha tanya. We have the following source. As you can see, it's framed. That indicates it's a Tanaic source. B'nei Ir, Shenignav Sefer Torah Shelahen, a community whose Sefer Torah was stolen, and then the Ganav is found, and he has to be subjected to a court of justice. Ein Donin V'dayone Oysa Ha'ir. He is not to be judged with judges of that particular city. Ve'ein mevi'in raya me'anshe oisoir, and we can't bring evidence through testimony from people of that particular city that were victims of this theft. Of course, they appear to be, they're all partial. It's their Sefer Torah, so they can't serve as judges nor as witnesses. Ve'im Esau, if it were so that siluk works to make one impartial, lis liku beitrei minayu v'lidainu, let two of them declare themselves removed from the city, and they could thereby be part of the judicial procedure. The Gemara says, shiny Sefer Torah. The case of a Sefer Torah is different. That in general, siluk would work if it's a function of ownership of property. But the Sefer Torah case is different. The Lishmiya Koi, it's there for hearing. The Rashbam says, the Lishmiya Koi, the Ein Yochol Lesalek Atzmo Shelo Yehei Nogea Biedus. He can't possibly remove himself to the point that he would be no longer partial. He benefits by hearing Elohim Kain Yelech Lo Lodur Biracheres Shalayana Begros, unless he would actually leave town. And that's not what we're suggesting over here. We're talking about simple siluk. Gemara continues. Toshma. We're going to bring a source again, another source, wherein we will find that at first glance, siluk doesn't work. Ha'oimer tnu mona levnei iri. The person who is pledging to give money to a particular town. So you have this philanthropic individual, wants to give money to a particular town. Ein donin b'dayone oiso ha'ir, ve'ein mevi'in raya me'anshe oiso ha'ir. So if he has to be subjected to a judicial procedure, the people of that town cannot judge him, and they cannot bring evidence for his benefit. They're considered partial. Amai, why is the whole town rendered unacceptable? Lislaku Beitre Navshayu, let two of them remove themselves, Viladainu, and let them judge. Let them be part of the judicial procedure. The Gemara answers, Hochanami Besefer Torah. The dedication, when he said, give Amona Levnei Iri, he really said, I want to dedicate Mona with an amount of money for the purchase of a Sefer Torah. So as we said before, since it's Lishmiya Koi, their removal isn't going to make them impartial, because they still will be benefiting. Toshma. We have the following source, and as soon as we start the source, you're going to notice a bracketed section. That bracketed section for us will mean skip it on the first reading. Inside the bracketed section, there's a loshen, there's a language that requires fixing, and that's going to be featured in the note that we have on the side of the Gemara. There's an asterisk. You can see on your outside margin it says Besocha Sograyim Nimsa Loshon Deboi Tikun. That in the bracketed section there's a loshon that requires fixing. Bosis Lashimush Shelanu Besograyim, the basis of our use of these brackets in the text, the basis for choosing to treat the text thusly, Nimtza b'Rashbam dibur maschav v'tizbara. You'll be able to see in the Rashbam himself sensitivity to the Gemara structure. And what we'll do is we'll go through the source, and then we'll glance at that Rashbam that serves to give chizuk to our unique system of learning a daf Gemara. First, the source. Toshma. Ha'oimer tenu mona la'aniye iri. Person wants to dedicate money to the poor of the city. That's a literal translation, and we have to work with that for the time being. Now, one who says that, so ain donin bedayone anie oiser. Notice we skipped the bracketed section, and we're reading after the brackets, ain donin bedayone anie oiser vein mevien raya me anie oiser. That the aniyim of that town, the poor of that town, cannot serve as dayonim, and they cannot serve as witnesses to benefit this philanthropic individual, because they stand to gain. And the Gemara is going to ask the same question as we said before, that why couldn't two of them remove themselves from that town, from association with the town, and thereby become impartial? So the Gemara will be asking, in effect, we see that Siluk does not help. Then how in the Gemara above, dealing with the Shutfin, did Siluk work? We'll get back to this momentarily, because we skipped a section of the Brisa. Let's read it again for the sake of Shlemus, for completion, and then look in the Rashbam to see how he treats the section that we've bracketed. We're going to read again from the triangle Toshma Ha'omer. One who says, Tenu mona la'anie iri. Ein donin bedayone oiso'ir, vein mevien raya me'anshe oiso'ir. So at this stage, the Brisa is saying that people from that city, anyone from that city, cannot serve as a judge, nor can serve as a witness to benefit this philanthropic individual. The Gemara asks, "V'tisbara aniyim shakli dayoni mifsali." Could it be that aniyim are the beneficiaries of this philanthropic individual? as he said, give the money to the aniyim of the city, to the poor of the city, that they're the beneficiaries, and that passels all of the dayonim. What kesher, what connection is there between the dayonim of that city, the judges of that city, and the realm of aniyim? They don't have anything to gain. Namely, the regular rank-and-file judges middle-income and upper-income people, they have nothing to gain from this individual. They have no benefit from this individual. So why does the source indicate that they ain't donin b'dayone oisoir? Elo emo, rather, the more accurate understanding of the source is as follows. Ein donin be dayone aniye oisoir. Ve'mivin raya me aniye oisoir. That the judges that happen to be themselves aniyim, or people who are themselves aniyim, cannot serve to adjudicate nor to offer testimony to benefit the philanthropist here. Ah, so Mara's going to ask, you know, why, but it wouldn't siluk be an option? But before we get to the question, let's glance at the Rashbam that we've hinted at or indicated already a couple of times. The Rashbam's found the lower part of the page, Vitisbara, Aniyim, Shakli, Raniyim benefit, and that passels the rest of the Dayanim. Gemora Koporich Allah. The Rashbam is pointing out that that expression is the Gemara talking, because we're in the middle of a Tanaic source. Nevertheless, it's the Gemara intervening, umetaretz lo, and the Gemara answers, v'hoder makshi mino, and then we go on to, with the revised edition that we have placed outside the brackets in the source, but we're making it part of the source, with that revised edition, we then proceed to ask our question, namely that we see that siluk doesn't help. Veshitas haGemara hi zu. This is the style of the Gemara. Vadayin lo siem kushi shelo lemifrach mino ad lebesof, where the structure of the Gemara is, it doesn't complete the question that it wants to ask until later on. Klomar v'tisbara. Dehochi ko'omar, dafka shehadayonim iposlu b'shvil ho'aniyim v'alo ein noigin beidusan klal. The Rashbam is explaining the question itself at this point. That how could it be that the dayonim, who themselves are not beneficiaries, should be passeled by the fact that the philanthropist wants to give money to the aniyim? Okay, that having been said, everyone has seen that that part of understanding a Daf Gemara is also being sensitive to the structure. Nevertheless, we go back into the Gemara and we ask the question, V'amai, why is it that you say the Dayonim Aniyim of that city cannot prosecute the case, cannot judge in such a case? Lis Talku Bei Trei Nafshai V'ledainu, let two of them remove themselves from association with the town and let them judge the case. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice there's a one that appears in the space between the Rashbam and the Gemara. The one indicates it's the first of a couple of answers. There's a number two a little bit later. So the Gemara answers, Hocho nami besefer Torah, that the philanthropist who said Tenu Mono La Niyayiri is really saying, buy a Sefer Torah. I want to donate money for a Sefer Torah. So if that's the case, why use the term Aniyim? Tamai Kori Luhu Aniyim. Why is that term used if we're talking about a Sefer Torah? The answer is, Da Hakol Eitzel Sefer Torah Aniyim Hein. Everyone with regard to the Sefer Torah, being that he is needy of the Sefer Torah, he's a needy individual. As such, we can refer to him as Oni. That means everybody in the town are considered aniyim with regard to the Sefer Torah. What I found interesting here is that with this answer, we can legitimatize the original text of the source, where the source that we had, that section we had in brackets, is actually a decent text, namely Ein Donin Badayone Osoyer, that all of the Dayanim are really rendered improper, partial. V'iboy Esema, an alternative answer. Le'olam kidekotoni aniyim mamish. The person who wants to give money is someone who wants to give money to, not for a Sefer Torah, but to the community chest for the poor. And the Dayonim, as far as the Dayonim themselves are concerned, they might be Dayonim that are not themselves impoverished, and yet they're puzzle. Uba'aniye de Romu Alayhu. And we're talking about Aniyim, whose responsibility to fund them is on them. Namely, not on the Aniyim, but on those that would be judging. Vehechi domi. And what are the circumstances of that? E dekits lehu. If there's a fixed amount that everyone has to pay, and by this philanthropist winning, so they won't have to pay that amount. So we can still create a situation of there being impartiality. Leisfu be tre minayu mai de kitzlehu velidainu. Let two of them, if it's a case of witnesses or two witnesses, let two of them pay the amount that they otherwise would have been saving. Let them pay it out. So if they pay it out of their pockets, they're no longer beneficiaries of this philanthropist figure winning his case. And they could be part of the judicial process. So Mora says, Hocha b'mayaskinon delo kits lehu. Where there isn't a fixed amount that has to be paid out, so that we can't create this option of two of them pay out the fixed amount if there is no fixed amount. We'll take a look at the Rashbam on this point. Umishani delo kitzlehu, elo hakol lefi hatzorech. As far as funds are concerned, the collection of funds in that town are as needed. When needed, a collection is made, as opposed to a fixed tax. Ulefi machsoron shelaniyim noisnim. And as far as if the aniyim are lacking funds, so then collection is taken up. The kolzman shiyesh min amona be'ein, that as long as the mona that this philanthropist is dedicating to the city is around, lo yitnu hadayonim klum, there's no expectation of the dayonim to pay in to the community chest. There's no need for it. So once again, we see that they are partial. They have a vested interest in this philanthropist winning his case. The Gemara gives another explanation. V'boy esema le'olam dekits lehu. That there is a fixed amount that each one gives to the community chest. And you'll ask, let them pay that fixed amount and thereby become impartial. That's not going to help. Venichalahu, they're still happy if the philanthropist wins and the money is given to the city. Dekevon de Rovach Rovach. the more money that's in the town, the better it is for them. How does that work? So we could take a look at the Rashbam. The second line from the bottom, the Olam de Kitzlahu, V'afilu hochi nicha lehu ledayonim she'inosein hamona le'aniyim. Even though there is a fixed amount that is taxed, it's still to the benefit of the dayonim that the mona, that the amount that the philanthropist wants to give is given. The Kevon de Rovach, the Rashbam says, she'esh lohem mois, Rovach, klomar, hare yesh lohem mois, v'lomo yitnu klum, calls man she'ein srichim. Once there's a bundle of money in the poor man's community chest, there is no need for others to contribute. So the dayonim of the town are said to be always having a vested interest in this philanthropist and his desire to pay the money to the town. At this point, the Gemara goes to the third halacha of Shmuel. V'nasin shomrei socher ze lo ze. Since we've distanced ourselves from where we saw Shmuel originally, we can take advantage of the arrows that we have on the page that indicate where this comes from. So you notice there's a mem beis omid beis notation under this arrow. That tells you to go back to Mem Beis Omid Beis and find a corresponding arrow on the same side of the page where this one appears. And also you have to look for the arrow that has the corresponding Mem Gimel Omid Aleph written in by it. And you find that the upper part of the previous Omid, and that's the line on which this third halacha of Shmuel appears, V'nasim Shomrei Socher Ze Lo Ze. And if that's the case, what is this halacha saying? That the partners are considered shomrei socher. Those are shomer is someone who watches someone else's property. And as a shomer socher, as one who's categorized as a shomer socher, he's responsible to make good in the event of theft or loss. It's called Geneva V'Aveda. So they have this status. It's considered a higher status in terms of greater responsibility on a Shomer Socher than there is on a non-paid Shomer, known as a Shomer Chinom, who's potter in cases of Geneva and Aveda, chayev only in cases of negligence. The Gemara asks, however, how is it that the partners are considered shomrei socher ze lo ze? There's another principle that we have to introduce. The principle is known as shmira bebaylim. That states that if the owner of the item that's going to be watched or used in the case of a shoel, in the case of a borrower is also one of the shomrim. If the owner of the item that is going to be watched or used is in service of the shomer or of the borrower, if he is serving him, if he is performing activities and services for the borrower or for the shomer, by Torah law, the shomer is exempt from any of his ordinary responsibilities. These sugyas are dealt with at greater length in Maseches Bava Metzia. So the Gemara asks, how is it that the partners are considered having a shomer socher status, which means they're responsible for Geneva and Aveda, when in effect, since they're partners, so you have as a reality one is serving the other. Amai, the Gemara asks, why is there a chiyuv? Why is there a responsibility of a shomer socher upon the shutfin? Shmiro bebailim hi. The Rashbam explains at the top. Shmiro bebailim hi shekol echad mishamer ktsas min ha-shutfis beveso. And we are going to use the brackets here, as we've done in the Gemara, to skip momentarily. The Kevon Shehoya Reuven Mishamer Mechelek Shimon Beshoa Shenignava O Ovad Mechelko Beveis Shimon. Since Reuven is watching part of that which is owned by Shimon at the time that it was stolen from him, that's what he said here. Bishah shignignava ovad mechelko bebeis Shimon. Hare Shimon potur mechelek Reuven. Sharei Reuven imo bimalachto. While Reuven is watching part of which was owned by Shimon, so you have part of that's the ownership. We're talking about partners. So you have part of the item owned that was while Reuven was watching Shimon's thing. Shimon was also watching. So Shimon is the owner of that which was stolen under Reuven's watch, but Shimon was also watching at the same time in his house. So being that that's the case, that the owner was in service of the shomer, each one in effect is a shomer and an owner at the same time. So it's a case of shmira bebailim. I'm watching your chelek while you are watching my chelek. So you're in service for me. That creates exemption. So why is it that Shmuel says that there is chiyuv? Omar Rav Popo the Gemara answers, De Omar le shmor li hayoim. You watch the entire field, my chelek and your chelek. You watch it entirely today. So while Mr. One is watching the entire field, the other, Mr. Two, is not involved. Vani eshmor lecho lemochar, and I'll watch for you tomorrow. So we don't have a case where the owner is in service of the shomer. Hence, we can say that shutfin, if this is the arrangement, watch for me today and I'll watch for you tomorrow, they are considered shomrei socher zelze and don't enjoy the exemption of shmiru b'bailim. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan. As you can see, there's a framed section. This is a Tanaic source. The first part of the source will be incongruous with the second part of the source, and that will raise the Gemara's curiosity. Mochar lo bayis, mochar lo sode, ein meid lo oleho. The mocher cannot testify for the benefit of the lokech, mitnei she'achriyuso alof, because he has a guarantee to make good on it, and hence he would be considered nogea beyedus. Mochar lo poro, mochar lo talis, meid lo oleo, mitnei she'ein achriyuso alof. He's able to testify because he doesn't have any obligations to make good. So the Gemara asks, Maishno Reisha, Umaishno Seifa. What's the difference In the Reisha you said Achriyusu Olav, in the Sefer you said Ein Achriyusu Olav. Before we go on, let us take a look at some of the comments that we find on the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei and Mivneh. There's a bowtie form. You notice one over here. The number two appears on Daf Mem Dalet Omed Aleph. What is the role of these bowties? So we take a look at the side of the Gemara. Shnei Gishois Lahazbir Reisha V'Seifa Shel Braisa Mochar Lo Bayis etc. V'chulei. We're going to have two approaches to explain the Reisha and the Seifa of this source. Yesh L'Ha'ir The Afalpi Sheyesh Shnei Gishos L'Ukimtois. Even though there are two approaches to the setup of this source, Mikol Mokoim Lefi Shneim Ha Dikotoni Reisha Eino Meid. Whether you adopt the first approach or the second approach, that which it says in the source, Eino Meid, in the Reisha it says Eino Meid, Hainu Mishum Nogea Beedus, because he has a vested interest. The Sefer Dikotoni Meid, the Eino Nogea Beedus. So we're going to construct cases where the Reisha, according to both approaches, the one bowtie one and bowtie two, he is Nogea Beedus, and the second, the Sefer Lefi, both approaches will be Eino Nogea Beedus. We're also going to see, as an example offered by the Gemara, what we've noted here in a little diagram form. There's a Nigzal, whose name is Shimon. He's a victim of theft. The item went from Shimon to Reuven, who is the Gazlan, the thief. And Reuven, who is the thief, he sold the item to Levi, who's a purchaser. So they are together on one side of the equation, and there's an outside individual called Yehuda, who is a Me'arer. He is an outsider claiming ownership, exclusive ownership, thereby indicating that Shimon, for example, never owned it. There's another notation here, the Mivneh notation, the double underline. You'll notice there, Hezbero Shel Rav Sheshes. This will be under the explanation offered by Rav Sheshes. U'bahemshech Simun Ze Yavlit Hatzaot Chilufiot. And in the flow of the Gemara as it goes on to Daf Mem Dalet Amet Aleph, there The double underline will be featuring alternative scenarios. Let us begin the Gemara. We're now trying to find out what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. Omar Rav Sheshes, Reisha involves a case, Bireuvein Shegozal Sode Mishimon. Umochro Levi. Reuven, a thief, stole from Shimon and sold it to Levi. V'osa Yehuda v'koma arer. And Yehuda came and protested, claiming himself to be the owner. And the Reisha says, and we're talking about the theft of a house, the theft of a field, and in the Reisha, we're saying the lo lezel Shimon, the nigzal cannot go la'asid le'levi, to testify on behalf of Levi. Why? We are going to tell you that Shimon has a vested interest in Levi winning, It's in Shimon's ultimate benefit that Levi wins against the Ma'arer Yehuda. Because if Yehuda wins, that will indicate that Shimon was never the rightful owner of it. If Levi wins against Yehuda, at least Shimon will have a fighting chance to get his field back. The Gemara presents a new geometric form, and we see that the volcano form, and we've indicated on the side, these are kushyos, these are questions. Shehameshutof shelahem, the common denominator. Lama katani d'eino made. Why does it say that he cannot testify? Harehu eino nogea b'edus. He is in effect not with a vested interest. Let us continue in the Gemara itself. After having explained why Shimon the Nigzal cannot testify because he seems to be nogea be'edus, nevertheless, what's Shimon in effect saying? Shimon is testifying this field belongs to Levi so as to have Yehuda lose the case. He's testifying on behalf of Levi against the Ma'arer. And somehow we thought that as a result of Levi winning, that makes Shimon the Nigzal nogea be'edus. Gemara asks, v'kevon de'asid lei de Levi hu, since Shimon testified that the field belongs to Levi. Hechi motzi mapik lo mine. How can Shimon ever get the field back? There's a concept, hoydoas baal din kemeya edim domi, that if the individual himself concedes, that's tantamount to testimony of 100 witnesses. So how is Shimon considered to have what to benefit in this case? Gemara answers, the Omar, because Shimon's testimony is not like we thought, that he's testifying it belongs to Levi. Rather, Yodano dahai ara delav diyehuda hi. Shimon is simply saying, I know that this land does not belong to Yehuda. Therefore, Shimon is nogea be'edus, because he has a chance of getting it back in to his own possession. Moore asks, but still, why do you say that Shimon is nogeya be'edus? If Shimon is offering testimony that it does not belong to Yehuda, that's in effect what his testimony is. So whatever koyach he has in order to get it away from Levi, ultimately, he'll be able to get it away from Yehuda. So once again, why do you say that he is nogea be'edus? The Gemara says inside, there's a question. Ubahu zechusa dekomapik lo mi Levi, lipko mi Yehuda. Namely, as we said, that even if Yehuda were to win, whatever schus, whatever power he has like up his sleeve in order to get it away from Levi, he'll be able to get it away from Yehuda as well. The Gemara answers that Shimon still has a vested interest in it not landing up in the hands of Yehuda. The Omar, Shimon says, Hasheni noyach li, Harishon kosheheimenu. It's easier for me to deal with Levi than it would be for me to deal with Yehuda. Therefore, he has a vested interest in it not landing up in Yehuda's possession. The Iboyasema, another scenario that we'll offer in order to explain why Shimon cannot testify, Kegoin de is le sahadi lamor, the is le sahadi lamor. That both have witnesses to their own causes. The Omur Rabbonon Aro Hecho de Kaimo Tekum. And when you have a suffix, then you leave the item in Suffolk, in case this case the land, leave it where it is standing. To appreciate what was just said, we'll take a look at the Rashbam. The Iboyasema Lahochi lo motzi Shimoin laafuka miyehuda. For this reason that we're about to learn is why Shimon cannot testify and have it removed from Yehuda. Kegoin de isle sahadi l'Shimon shasode shalu, ve isle sahadi l'Yehuda shemakhishin li'elu v'yomrim shasode shal Yehuda. You have Shimon that has witnesses that would benefit him, and Yehuda has witnesses that would benefit him. V'omur rabbonon b'chol sofek din karka. The rule the Rabbanan lay down when it comes to doubts concerning karka, hecho de kaimo aro tekum, where the land is standing, it remains. Shelo yotzi uha based in miad hamachzik bo. The Besdin would not remove it from the one who is muchzuk on it, one who's holding it. We don't want to change status. We've noted a bracketed section in the Rashbam. This indicates that after the brackets, the Rashbam continues to explain the case we have at hand. So we'll glance at the continuation of the Rashbam, who's found on Daf Mem Dalet and Aleph. Avol hocha Shimon v'Yehuda einon boin lodun ze im ze. In truth, Shimon is not coming to Dan, he's not coming to confront Yehuda, but rather Elo Levi v'Yehuda. The confrontation here is between Levi, who's the current possessor of the land, and Yehuda, who is Ma'arer. U mi Levi hu demapik lo Yehuda min hadin. It's really from Levi that Yehuda is trying to extricate the land. Deha vadai Levi migazlon kono. Levi bought it from a thief. The kevon de min hadin anu machzikin li Yehuda b'hai sadeh. And since by letter of the law we would be establishing in a case of Yehuda versus Levi, Yehuda will be the one established on the land. Kishiyovoi Shimon Lodin Imoi, when Shimon eventually comes to confront Yehuda, Daininon will apply the following rule. Uki Trei Lebahadi Trei V'uki Ara Becheskes Yehuda. V'hilkoch Ein Meid Lo Shimon Lelevi. Therefore Shimon cannot testify for Levi im yodea shum edus shepoisel edov shel Yehuda. Shimon cannot move in while the land is in Levi's possession to knock out the witnesses that Yehuda has. Oy shemeid hu viechod, or possibly Shimon and one other witness say befaneinu hoidelo, that in front of us Yehuda admitted that it belongs to Levi. The nichole de teve biad Levi. It's to Shimon's benefit that the land remains in Levi's possession. The Hodar Umapik Lo Levi Ayadei Edov, and then Shimon would be able to get it from Levi with his witnesses, Shirosh and Gozla Ruvei Mimenu. Ubosar Hachi, and after that, after Shimon would be victorious in getting it from Levi, Afilu Maisi Yudo Sadi Do Aro Didei, even if Yehuda would be successful in bringing witnesses that it belongs to him, Lo Motzi Mapik Lo Mishimon. Shikvar Posal Shimon Atzmo V'Eid Acher Imo Eidov Shel Yehuda, because Shimon in the meantime himself and one other witness knocked out Yehuda's witnesses. V'od Kivon Di Islei Nami L'Shimon Sadi D'ho Aro D'Dehi Omer Rabbonan Hecho D'Kaimo Aro Tekum, that where the land stands it remains standing. Up till this point then we have explained the Nigio Beedus that Shimon has here, that it's to Shimon's benefit that Levi would win, because according to the Iboy Asema, if Yehuda wins, then he will be a clear victor over Levi, and then Shimon, even if he brings witnesses, it'll be Shimon's witnesses against Yehuda's witnesses. And that's a standoff, and will leave the land in the possession of Yehuda. So Shimon doesn't want Yehuda to win over Levi, so that Shimon will be able to get possession of the land. Hence he's Nogea Be'edus. With all of this, we've explained Rav Sheshes and his approach to explaining the Reisha. The Gemara at the beginning of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph will be asking on why did Rav Sheshes set it up as a case of a Gazlon with a Nigzal and a Lokeach confronting the Ma'arer. The Gemara will offer an alternative setup, and Mirtz Hashem, that will be the subject of the next Shi'ur. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.